Welcome to the Healing Grove Podcast. I'm Dr. Kristen Ryman, an integrative holistic family physician, author of Life After Lyme, and host in this virtual space of learning, healing, and growing. I believe humans are like trees, and our physical limb is only one of many. Health on all limbs of the tree, emotional, conceptual, social, spiritual, is absolutely required for the whole tree that is you to be vibrantly well. I created the Healing Grove Podcast as a place to showcase some of the world's best integrative and holistic medicine, to expose you to transformative tools and mindset shifts for all limbs of your tree. I hope you enjoy our conversation in the Healing Grove today as much as I enjoyed having it. So, Susie Griswold, welcome to the Healing Grove Podcast. I'm so delighted that you agreed to do this interview. I've been watching your actions from afar and I'm just super inspired by what you do with all your work in Healing Strong and for groups of people. You know, I'm a huge fan of the idea that healing happens best in community. So I hope we can get into all the ways in which, you know, you and I both totally vibe off of that notion. But before we do, I would love it if you would just introduce yourself to this audience and let us know a little bit about what brought you to the important work you're doing today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you first for having me, Dr. Kristen. And I love the name of this podcast. It just embraces what we're about, just coming into the Healing Grove. So I've been thinking about it a lot this morning. Just even the word of or the name of your podcast just, you know, helps us kind of get into that mind shift. So I'm really excited to share and really appreciative that you've given us this opportunity to talk about Healing Strong. So my journey started 13 years ago, actually 14 years ago now. I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer, which was super easy to treat. As you know, as a practitioner, I had so many people say, you got the magic bullet. What they didn't know is that my background included, I was 13 and my family, 10 family members had died of cancer. Many of them had died of lung cancer. And so I had walked the road of cancer since the time I was five. So my knowledge and what I thought cancer was looked very different than what I know cancer is now. So, and that's through a process of the last 13 years, but I did choose to do, I mean, I hit it hard. I did, you know, all the things they said to do, the radical, or they, you know, did the thyroidectomy, I did the radioactive therapy. And when they did follow-up scans, it showed up in three lymph nodes. And so I knew that if it truly was in the lymph nodes, that was something that was concerning because of my family's history. So I chose to, at that point, really stop and do a lot of praying and ask what is the next step, because I was kind of freaky. You can imagine I was really very concerned, and a friend sent me a book called Knockout by Suzanne Summers. Well, I'm in the generation, you and I probably are the same generation, where Chrissy was from, you know, a show that, like, what can Chrissy teach me about cancer? But the person that shared it with me, I have great respect for. So I read the book. And it was then that I realized, whoa, wait a minute, doctors are doing a lot of different things that I had never heard about of cancer, and really brought back some memories too, because when I was in graduate school, I had worked with pancreatic cancer patients through a research institution in Houston, Texas. And it reminded me of this young couple that came in, and they were doing really good on the protocol that we had, but they wanted to share with me that not only are they doing this protocol that was based out of a root from a tree they were doing a macrobiotic diet. And so I remember after reading that book and going, and I remembered that, and that had been many years before. That was in the 1990s. I was diagnosed in 2009. So this was probably 2010, after seeing many doctors who said things like, we can pluck your lymph nodes out one by one as they come up, like that was okay. Radical neck dissection came up. And then I decided to go see a alternative doctor in Houston, which is where my family's from. And that alternative doctor wanted to do chemotherapy. And I'm like, I'm really confused. So I just stopped everything and really committed my heart to prayer. And that's when I followed. Some friends had sent other things like the Gerson therapy. So that's when I stayed on the Gerson therapy. I'd done a little bit of it for 6 months, but it was then that I decided I'm going to do this full course. And in between that time, I had an anxiety attack and I couldn't breathe. And they did a chest CT scan and found a lung nodule. Well, a lot of people have lung nodules. I wasn't about to get a biopsy, but I looked at that as a wake-up call to either be all in Gerson or not. And that was the point that I said, I'm going to go all in and I'm going to do the Gerson therapy the best that I can, which I did. I worked full time. It's like, you know, my kids were young, but, it changed everything, Dr. Chris. It changed everything. And as a result, this is why we have Healing Strong today.
Hmm. Such a powerful story. And there's so many pieces of it that I want to kind of reflect on with you. So first of all, I think there are probably people listening to this who don't know what the Gerson therapy is. Maybe you can give kind of the bare bones of that.
Yeah. So great question. Dr. Max Gerson was a German physician that was in Germany during Nazi Germany. He actually was one of the physicians for the Nazis. And his story is remarkable. You can look up his history, and I recommend that you do. But he escaped it. He took his family. He had actually gone to, let me just put this in there, because it's just, to me, it's a remarkable story about how he fought to get out of Germany, ended up in the United States, but he was on a train, had just attended a conference, and they were looking for Jews at that time. And I think by God's grace, I forget what exactly happened, but they skipped over him. And he ended up getting his family after that and coming to the United States. And it was at that point, he had already been doing the Gerson therapy because of his own migraine headaches. So his migraine headaches led him to do and prepare a very intensive nutritional protocol, detoxification protocol that is hard to do, but it is very effective and it's very well studied. You can't see a lot of the literature in the United States written in English, but if you could read German, there's a lot of published articles about the Gerson therapy. But just to give you an idea of what that looked like for me, when I landed on the Gerson therapy and that's what I was going to do, I did 25-pound bags of carrots every week that I juiced. With that, I did green apples, greens. I would alternate, like in the morning, I'd wake up and do an orange juice. I'd alternate my carrot and apple juice with a green juice. I did 3 coffee enemas a day. I ate completely vegan. There's supplements that I took, and I did modify it a little bit, primarily because I couldn't do 13 juices a day. I mean, there are things I just couldn't do. And I just don't think that God intends for us to be completely stressed out, that you can't modify it. So I did modify it a little bit. I don't recommend for those that are, you know, facing advanced cancer to do any modifications unless you speak with the practitioner and really work with somebody that's very knowledgeable about it. But I did modify it. I tweaked it. I did 8 to 10 juices a day. I did 3 coffee enemas a day in the morning. I also worked a full-time job, but I cut back. I stayed at home and I actually was able to do my juices throughout the day fresh. I took a nap when I needed to nap. I'm a Christian, so I listened to scripture when I would do my coffee enemas 3 times a day. I'd turn that scripture on and just get it in my heart that way. And things began to heal. It was interesting because before all of this, they wanted to do a hysterectomy. And that's really what led me to go through to my OBGYN is the one who discovered the thyroid nodules. So everything healed. I mean, I did not do the hysterectomy. My uterus got well. Everything got well. My tremors even got a little bit better. I have a tremor, we think from a diving accident, but those even got better while I was doing the, you know, advanced Gerson therapy. So it was difficult, but in the end, everything healed. And in 18 months, there was no evidence of it. There's one little lymph node that's left, but there were 3 lymph nodes to start with. There was one that was left. The lung nodule got a little bit smaller. It's still there, but it's, you know, it's not doing anything. So maybe it was benign. I don't know. But we have since implemented a lot of things that we've learned through doing the Gerson therapy with our own family. You and I talked about, like, I have one son who has Lyme disease, and we definitely implemented some of that with him. And then both of them have Addison's disease. And with the youngest, I actually took him out of school and did 6 months of Gerson with him. And
wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. And I'm curious to know what the doctors on your team felt about these choices, and maybe some of your family members who'd, you know, gone different routes or who'd experienced your family going a different route. Was there pushback? Were people freaking out? What did that look like?
It was so funny. All of it. Like, I had my family. All of it. My husband, who is just an incredible human being. He was scared because I'm not doing what the doctor said to do. So he was completely afraid, but I would begin to read things to him from books. I read the Gerson protocol book, 50 case studies book, and I would read things to him and he'd be like, huh. And before you know it, people were asking him questions, what she's doing. So he became more, you know, involved in watching videos like Forks Over Knives. And, you know, there's lots of things that were out there on the internet that we could watch that kind of supported this lifestyle that I was living. And so he finally came along and is completely supportive and very involved in it. But my immediate family really, and still think I'm a little bit nuts, but that's okay. You know, as far as how we chose to heal cancer, because of course they walk through the cancer journey in their own route with our family members as well. We had one friend come up to Jeff in the middle of it and say, you know, I had an aunt that did all that stuff and she ended up dying, you know? And so I just really think that you need to talk to your wife because she's going to die. And so people spoke words like that over. So it helped us. And it trained us to be very resolute in what we were doing and to resolve that this is what we were going to do. And so Jeff became my buffer. I answered no. That's when the answering machines were there. I answered no messages. Jeff answered those. I didn't pay attention to people that were speaking negative or we're not supportive. I love them, but I love them from a distance. We even left our church for a season to just get away from that and to sit and rest and renew and do what we needed to do as a family so that I could heal. So we made radical decisions just so that we could walk this route in a way that we needed to do. And at that time, there were no groups. So, you know, we were doing it ourselves, and I'm thankful that Jeff was so supportive.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like you got really intentional about crafting your healing team. Yes. In a way that would be supportive and also protective for you from the rest of the world, which can be well-meaning, but not as supportive as you'd like.
So you asked a question, and just to circle back around, what did my practitioner say about it? I let one practitioner know what I was doing. And of course, their response was very negative. So I protected what I was doing by not sharing it with others. I used my practitioners to run I actually did do PET scans. I wanted to know. I was one of those that wanted to know what's going on up here. And so I used them to do the diagnostic testing. And because I have no thyroid, I have to get medicine. So I'm very careful about who I tell my pearls to, who I'm going to share that with, right? I mean, this is a treasure to my heart. And I used to get offended by it. And the doctor was, you know, when I told him that was, well, that has nothing to do with you healing, right? And I hear people now all the time that say, well, in 6 months, you're going to be, you know, they speak negative stuff over people. And we hear that through Healing Strong all the time. And that's why for me, I was like, nope, we're doing this. And I don't have to share everything with everybody. And I really would pray and to say, God, you've got to show me what you want me to say to people. You know, do you want me to step in and be involved? I could go down that road too and just say how it's really taught me a lot on, you know, how much I share with people.
Yeah. Well, it's about clarity of purpose and boundaries, You know, it's about really clean boundaries. And that's, I think, key, especially when you're dealing with an illness that is, you know, I would say cancer is pretty misunderstood, you know, and a lot of the people who misunderstand it don't know that they're misunderstanding it. And so they project their, you know, their uncertainty and their annoyance and their failure. I mean, let's face it. A lot of the treatments that are standard treatments for cancer is fail. Ultimately they fail. So you give people another 3 years or another 5 years, maybe another 10 years, but the expectation is that they're going to die. And that's doesn't feel great to sit with, you know, if you're peddling that medicine. Mm-hmm. So, tell me a little bit about, you know, the groups that you guys are cultivating in Healing Strong, because like I said earlier, I'm a huge fan of group support and of group learning and of leveled hierarchies and of people learning together. And a transformation is huge, I think. And when it's witnessed by others who are holding space for that, it's like it amplifies. So I want to know kind of what your groups look like.
Oh, thank you. I love how you put that. That was so good. I'll have to write that down. It was so good. Our groups, you know, together, I believe that we find strength. And how our groups were set up is because, you know, myself and the team that helped start Healing Strong, we didn't have the support. And we know how important it was that we needed not only support, but education. We didn't want, there's a lot of support groups out there, aren't there, that you go in and you share. You know, I had a conversation just before I came into the office today with a lady that's been dealing with stage 4 cancer for 10 years now. And she still has the same emotional stuff, trauma, the same financial issues that are going on. And I've talked to her over the years. She actually was in my group in Cumming and Georgia whenever I did a group. And it's the same stuff. And I say that because you can have a support group where you're going to have people share what's wrong. Right? What's wrong in my life and what I have to deal with and how hard things are. And there's a place for that. But our groups are set up and the culture of our groups are set up that when people come in, we're going to give them a hug. If it's an in-person group, since COVID, we now do a lot of online groups, which has actually turned out to be great. But my preference are those in-person groups because you're hugging, you're touching each other. You see the story, you see the testimony, you know, wow, if Dr. Kristen, you know, did that, I can do that. And then you can ask the questions specifically. So to help them navigate their own journey, because testimonies are so powerful. But we not only share testimonies, we have three pillars that all of our groups teach from. One is rebuilding the body. So that's going to be, we believe there's a season in your life that you need to go plant-based, that, you know, you need to get rid of the things that are hard to digest. And I'm not saying that's, you know, maybe it's just a few weeks for somebody. We don't say this is a protocol. This is just what we teach. So we teach that, you know, nutrients from plants are really, really good for us. So, you know, like juicing is really good for you. And we teach juicing as well during that. We also teach there are some very basic supplements that a lot of people are deficient in when they have cancer. And but again, we don't tell people what they should do. Should they go holistic, integrative, or should they, you know, just do the chemo and radiation? We don't. We have lots of people that come in all of those three areas that they're doing. And our whole premise is these three pillars, rebuilding the body, renewing the soul, and refreshing the spirit, are things that you do at home. So the choices you make at home are going to matter most. You can leave your doctor's office who's helping you with IV vitamin C and teaching you, you know, maybe you're doing IPT and you're doing other things, but those choices you make at home, what you're going to put in your mind, are you going to watch the news the whole time, which is horrible to sit down and watch the news right now. We don't even turn our TV on to the news anymore. You know, there's just things that you can do to help improve your healing outcomes. And that's what Healing Strong is about. So we hear what you're saying, but we're not here to try to fix that. We're here to tell you, here are resources. Here is the education that we know. Here's the partnerships that we do. Like with the lady I was just talking to, we partner with two companies out of Houston, two nonprofits to help with emotional trauma and getting rid of that. I mean, sick people, we get sick because it's not just physical. We've got a lot of emotional stuff too that we're dealing with. And so, and we know that, you know, and so like you said, the terrain of our body, right? The the limbs and the things, not only the physical, but what's going on through our roots and internally is super important to deal with. And our soul, which I believe is our mind and our will and our emotions, get mugged up. It just gets muddied up, doesn't it, over time. And so how can we help people navigate those hard things that they've been through? And it might be something as simple as a testimony that they hear at their group that maybe this person dealt with abuse as well. And so they're going to make that connection, but we definitely encourage them to take it a step further and to address it. So we work with professionals as well who love our Healing Strong participants and want to go in and help them.
Beautiful. Beautiful. So if someone is wanting to join a group, how does that work? What do they need to do to get in on that?
Yeah, everybody is welcome. They just go to our website. It's super easy. You go to healingstrong.org. If that's all you remember, you go up the top and it'll say groups and there'll be a drop down and you can either join a group or start a group. And so the groups, when you click down, we have a whole search engine that you can get to. You can search by city or by state. If you're out of country and you can't find that, sometimes our search engine gives us some trouble, but we don't have a lot of out of country, groups anymore. We used to have more than we do now, but we do have some, and I would say just email us at help@healingstrong.org. If you have any trouble, but get connected to a group. And if you're at the place to where you've walked your healing and you want to share what you've learned and you'd like to be a part of helping your community to do that, then we have a whole program. That's what we focus on, is helping group leaders to get set up and start groups in their own area. We need them. We need as many groups as we can get out there. There's never too many groups in one location.
Beautiful. So you're basically becoming the trainers.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have a training program. We have a group leader coordinator. We have we have our participant guide that you can download free online, actually, but it has all of our lessons are in here. So we have 12 basic lessons, but we've been doing this now for 10 years. So we have a whole leaders lounge of additional lessons and videos that you can teach. Like, this doesn't necessarily cover fasting, but we've got a whole lesson on fasting that's in our leaders lounge for our group leaders. And our focus, Dr. Kristen, really is to equip those group leaders to have the materials that they need. We are structured. I don't believe that we're supposed to go in and nilly-willy just, offer up a group. We have a structured set thing of what you do. You open in prayer and then you get started and you teach the group and the lessons, and then you end with an affirmation, and you might have in between their time for sharing. You might watch a video. They might have a speaker. But it is a beautiful time, and I've never had once somebody call me and say that they have had issues with any of our groups at any time. So they're open for everyone, and we know that people are empowered when they come in, and when they heal in community, something very special happens.
Yeah, something very special does happen. Yeah. Is there anyone for whom the groups would not be appropriate?
Do they have cancer?
Do they have to have cancer to be in the
group? No. We have, the groups, it's interesting. They kind of take on their own kind of personality. So we have young moms that start groups because they want to help their friends prevent disease, or they want their kids to be well and healthy. And so they do Healing Strong groups. We have one group that just started for prostate cancer. It was a spinoff of a group, two groups, actually, one in Arizona and one in California. And they've kind of spun off, and these men are helping each other. And so they're kind of doing their own thing, but their wives are in the other groups, right? So it's just beautiful. It's beautiful. I'm telling you, there's so much that people walk away. And it's not, we don't say, if you come to Healing Strong, you're going to get rid of this cancer. I believe if you come to Healing Strong, your chances of getting rid of the cancer is great. But we also believe that we can teach you how to juice. We can teach you how to eat. But if you don't address the whole person and connect with our Heavenly Father, all we're just helping you be a little more comfortable in the place that you're in right now. And we want you to be better. We want you to leave feeling strong, and we want you to live the purposeful life that we believe that God has for you. And so that's what our groups hopefully are doing for people. It's helping them live their purposeful life out.
Beautiful, beautiful. So in terms of the structure of the group, like you mentioned some of the things that happen, and those are the things that the facilitators are all trained to kind of provide, and in terms of the container for the group. Do you have any ongoing support for those facilitators so that they have a place to process challenging group moments, or that there's a place for them to continue their education as facilitators?
Yes, yes, yes. Thank you for saying that. So that's the main structure that we do. We have a training program through our main group leader coordinator. We have mentors that are all around the United States. So our group leaders have access at any time to their mentors, their assigned mentors. We also do training every month. So our group leaders are invited to come into the training. We do two trainings a month, and then we do a support group meeting just for group leaders once a month. And so that's the last Monday of every month. We're also this year doing a conference, and part of that conference is a group leader conference. So we are always, and we do that periodically, where we will bring in speakers and other group leaders and look at best practices. The other thing that we have, because it's hard when you invest your time and effort into people that are coming to your groups, inevitably, when you do it long enough, you're going to lose someone that you love. And we have lost people who have passed on, and it's important that we support them through that. So we have two chaplains who are trained chaplains for grief, and they are there for the group leaders. One is my dad, and another is a lady who's been trained as a chaplaincy for many years, in chaplaincy for many years. So we really value and see the power of the community of our group leaders. The other thing that we do for our group leaders is we partner with people. One is, I'll give you an example, Sherry Calbone. She's the juice lady, and she does a retreat every year. And she will let us know when she has openings, and it goes immediately to our group leaders. So if she has openings, we want our group leaders to get some restoration too, and have the opportunity. And she doesn't charge our group leaders to do that. So it's, you know, it's not a whole lot of people that can go at once, but almost every time she has openings for group leaders to be a part of that. Last year, we sent two of our leadership team, one group leader and another of our prayer team members, to a conference that was taking place on the East Coast. And it was just for women to heal from emotional wounds. And so that was powerful. And we're always looking and seeing, how can we help our group leaders be better so that they can lead better? You know, so that's a big part of it as well.
I love that. And how many groups currently do you have that are ongoing?
So right now we have about 140, 150 active groups. We have supported 450 groups in the last 7 years. So when COVID happened, a lot of our groups quit meeting, and some went online, but a lot of our people didn't like it. But we probably had 50 new group leaders that will be starting very soon. So it's growing again. People are seeing the need for it again. And so we're just really excited about what, you know, these new group leaders are doing and where things are going. So it's definitely been a facelift, so to speak, of how we are offering the groups, because now many of them are doing them online. So
amazing. Well, it sounds like there's a lot of changes in the works and a lot of growth happening. I hear this is a special year for Healing Yes. Strong. I wonder if you'd say a little bit more about why.
Yes, thank you. We are celebrating 10 years of service, and that's a big deal. I know, right? It is a big deal, and we are making it a big deal. So September 29th and 30th, we are having a Healing Strong conference. It's in Houston, Texas. We have amazing speakers. Go on our website, healingstrong.org/conference. You'll see some incredible speakers. One of our favorite people who's our MC is Chris Work. He's MCing. He's always MC'd all of our conferences, and he's a favorite of our folks. So he will be there. Sherry Calbone will be there. Dr. Dick Tibbetts, who wrote Forgive to Live, and one of my favorite speakers. I heard him speak last year and I said, he's got to speak on the stage for our Healing Strong event. So he actually was a part of one of our groups. And so we're bringing him in. We've got some incredible, we've got herbal breakout sessions. We've got herbal and the Gerson therapy, and the Nicholas Gonzalez Foundation is going to join us. We're going to learn about, you know, metabolic processes in cancer. So our breakout sessions, I think we have 14 or 15 breakout sessions. And then my favorite is our night of worship that we do at all of our conferences, but this one is special because we're celebrating our 10 years that night, and then we will worship together the goodness of God and what he's done in Healing Strong. So I cannot wait. It's going to be a great, great thing. So the 29th and 30th, and like I said, part of that's going to be our group leader conference. So we just encourage, if you have any interest in being a group leader, do it now so you can come to that conference, because they're getting lots of fun things and big scholarships. And yeah.
Amazing. That looks amazing. I checked it out online already. You've got some amazing people there. And it looks like the vibe, I mean, you spoke earlier about not every support group is alike, right? And having, as a person who has experienced Lyme disease and dabbled in some support groups, when I was quite sick, I would definitely come away from some support groups going, yeah, that's not the vibe I'm needing for healing, you know? And so, just looking at your website is sort of what, the opposite of that, you know? It's like a high vibe, positivity, lots of gratitude, lots of community. It's just beautiful what you've created.
Thank you. It is all of those things. And we really value the environment that our groups put forward. So yeah, and we've got some incredible group leaders, beautiful servant hearts, and just, and smart, way smarter than me. And I mean, just are very knowledgeable, and they study the research, and they know their community. This is something else. Our group leaders are encouraged to do an audit of what's around them. So if you're in Pennsylvania, for say, or Michigan or somewhere like that, and you're wondering, well, what's in the state that I can, you know, who's there? And what about it in my town? Are there any farmers markets, or is there a hyperbaric, or what about acupuncture? You know, who's here to help us with some of these adjunct therapies? Our group leaders are, most of them are out there and are finding it out. So they're bringing it into the group. So they're like the, you know, just a gift every day, you know, here, come and let me share with you what I learned. And, you know, we have groups that take field trips. We had a group in California go to a salt cave recently, which I experienced once and I loved it. And, you know, so many benefits to it. And so they were off gallivanting to the salt cave in the middle of the week, you know, it's just beautiful what they do. They go to farmers markets together. And some of them are online, and they get to meet people from all over the world. We have one couple, if I can share this story. We have one couple in Mukatello, Washington, and both of them are cancer thrivers. So she started the group and he supported her, and he ended up being diagnosed with cancer too. So he's super involved in the group now, and both of them lead it. And when they first started, nobody would come. Like, she'd let me know, Susie, we only had one or two people show up. Well, now they meet online, and they have people all over the world that are coming to their group. And it is an amazing group to be a part of. So, you know, that's just one example. There's so many beautiful examples of group leaders and just the community that comes in with being a part of that community, the group leader community.
It sounds truly amazing. And I'm thinking about members in my audience who might be listening, who might say, wow, there's so many pieces of that I need and want, except I really want to get chemo and radiation and not get shamed for that. Or I don't believe in God, and I don't want to have to be converted? Like, what would you say to people like that? Yeah. Is this still a place that they would feel safe to be in?
Absolutely. So you, number one, you don't have to believe like we do to lead a group, but you do have to affirm our core values. So we believe that with regards to faith, I started Healing Strong and I'm a Christian. And so what I teach from spiritually comes from the Word of God. And that's what Healing Strong does. So anything spiritual that we're going to teach is going to come from God's Word. You may not want to pray. We have people who are all faith that have been a part of Healing Strong. So we have one right now, she's Jewish and she leads a strong Healing Strong group. And she has people that come alongside her and help, you know, part of the prayer and part of different parts of it. And never once, I'm not kidding you, never once have I had someone say to me, I felt ousted. This is not for me. I don't share your beliefs. And we invite them to call me and let's talk it through and see if this is even going to be a fit for you. So call me and, you know, and we'll have an open conversation about it. As far as Q1 radiation, most of our people have done some kind of integrative therapy. And there are lots of people that are involved in traditional therapies that come to our group. So there's no shaming. We don't tell you this is what you have to do. What we tell you is when you go home, those choices that you're going to make at home are going to matter most. So you can sit and get your chemo for 3 or 4 hours, but those choices you make at home and what you're going to put in your body physically and emotionally and spiritually, that's what's going to matter. That's just 2 hours of your time a week or 3 hours of your time a week. But the rest of it, those choices you make, those are the ones that are going to matter most. I think we make 30,000 choices a day. So it's either going to lead you to healing or it's going to lead you to disease. And we really believe that. So we focus on those three pillars and encourage people when you get home, you know, remember these things and hopefully begin to make those choices that are going to help with their health outcomes be much more improved.
Yeah. Do you ever get any pushback on this concept of the choice is, you know, the choice is yours to make? I mean, I feel like a lot of people who are on the path of a new cancer diagnosis, and I know this from friends and family and being intimately involved with some of their paths and their stories, they get so scared initially by their doctors and so immediately kind of locked into a path. And even though you're right, that path might be 2 hours a week or 2 hours a day and every other hour matters too, something about the people leading that path or directing them on that path kind of excludes the rest of it. And so it makes it scary for them to consider adding other stuff in, you know, even if it's prayer or community or joy or, you know, forgiveness or a vegetable, you know what I mean? People get scared to add other things in. What would you say to those folks?
There's a verse that I love and it says, therefore get wisdom, you know, seek knowledge with all thy seeking, gain understanding. I think something like that. But, you know, don't just take people's word for it. This is the beauty of the group, is that you're gaining the knowledge that you need to make those choices. So you'll understand why is forgiveness so important. Right. So when people understand it, when they're seeking, not only like listening to a doctor telling them you need to do this, but when they learn why this is important, why is it important to get super nutrients in your body? Why is it important to supplement with vitamin D or to ground outside or to sit in the sun in the morning? Does that really matter for me as a cancer patient? Well, it does. And when you're in a group, this is where community begins to happen. And somebody may say something that it doesn't really resonate with you, and that's okay. But somebody else may say something that you're like, you know what? I think I'm going to stop eating the sugar. I think I'm going to do that because, you know, I've been eating my candy bars every morning and I'm feeling really crappy. And, you know, maybe that's something I can do because we learned about the metabolic process of cancer. And so maybe those kinds of things are things that are going to resonate with them. So we don't dumb things down in our groups. So it's very educational. And so, you know, With all thy seeking of information, gain understanding. When, this is it. Wisdom is the principal thing. Wisdom, with all thy seeking, you know, gain understanding. So, you know, I definitely think that, you know, knowing that they have that opportunity to make a choice that is either going to lead them to health or disease, but they're well informed. And we really encourage a prayerful decision. We believe there is a God who has the best in store for you, and it's between you and connecting with him. And he's going to lead you down the path that you need. But and the other thing is, you know, walking in faith and not fear. So many of us walk in fear, but when you're with other people, a community of faith, it's definitely easier to walk out the healing journey with great faith and putting that fear behind us. So, you know, if you see a stage 4 breast cancer patient that's lived 10 years is up there leading, and you're just diagnosed with advanced breast cancer, and they're wanting to do a radical mastectomy and all of the things that come with that, but you're hearing the story and she's saying, and this is what I did, and this is a book that I read, and here's some websites for you to go to, you're going to take a step back and go, you know what, I'm going to read that stuff, and I'm going to listen to her story, and I'm going to make my own decision. And it's not going to be based on fear from what the doctor said, you better get in here and do this or you're going to die. Because that comes out of a lot of unfortunately, right? It comes out of a lot of people's mouths in the traditional medicine. So, and I'm not saying there isn't a place for that. I believe very much that there is. And we don't tell people to walk away from that. We believe that's their choice.
Yeah. Well, this has been quite amazing and super inspiring. I'm curious if we haven't touched on anything that's important to be said to a group of humans out there listening who this might be the first they're hearing about Gerson. It might be the first they're hearing about the availability of these beautiful groups you've created everywhere. Is there anything else that you'd like this group to hear?
And just recently I read a quote that I want to reinforce. Dr. Bernie Siegel, he's written a book, In Love, Medicine and Miracles, but he said something that just really resonated with me. He said, we should be paying more attention to the exceptional patients, those who get well unexpectedly, instead of staring bleakly at those who die in the usual pattern. In the words of Rene DeBose, sometimes the more measurable drives out the most important. And we are in a time in our life right now where everybody is saying, follow the science. And I'm here to say that there are a whole host of us out there that have done things very different than what we were told to do with regards to cancer. And we are doing well. We are either living with our cancer or we have beat this thing and we are doing well and we're sharing it with others. And there is hope. There's always hope. So don't ever let someone say that there's not. But you've got to do the work, and you've got to do the research, and you've got to trust. And I love what he said. Look at those who are doing well. Find those who have beat stage 4 cancer and follow, you know, listen to what they did. Let's not keep going back into the same pattern of behavior that we've seen, you know, since for as long as we know, you know, cancer and chemo and radiation and all of that. It's just the same standard of care. And we know what happens with, like you said, the majority of people. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm so in agreement of that. Listen to what's doing well, and let's study those people. And you're one of those people. So I'm just so grateful that you are willing to share your story here and your tools and your resources with the world and the way you've been doing it. It's such a gift, Susie. So thank you.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having us, and come see us at our conference. Join us, be my guest.
Oh, careful what you ask. I'm serious. Up on your doorstep.
I'm extending that invitation. We would love to have you.
Oh, thank you. Well, then we're going to have to talk later, I think.
I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Healing Grove podcast. If you liked it, please be sure to like and subscribe. And if you want to deepen your experience further, consider grabbing a copy of the Healing Grove playbook. With journal prompts for this podcast and 41 others, it's the perfect place to record your learnings, keep track of the tools you explore, and reflect on your own experience. Finally, it's important to mention that even though I am a doctor, nothing you hear on this podcast, whether from myself or my guests, constitutes medical advice. Any intervention you try should always be discussed with and supervised by a trusted member of your own healing team. Thanks for listening, and see you next time in the Healing Grove.